Then we studied baptism. Now we're studying the church membership and the Lord's Supper. And why don't you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. Boy, I'm glad to be an American. That little baby was born in a free country. I pray it always be free. Amen. Ephesians 3:9 says this, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Circle that word or underline it, mystery. What's God talking about there? The mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church and manifold wisdom of God, according to eternal purpose and which he had purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. I'm glad we're more than conquerors through Christ. Amen? Amen. But that mystery they're talking about is how God brought the Jew and Gentile in about the church. How the Jew and Gentile would be one in the church. The book of Romans says, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord unto all call upon him. And isn't it amazing how, remember we talked to how Jesus came for the Jews, but then he opened up, and I remember I showed you how he grafted us Gentiles in. And there's a lot of mysteries. There's a mystery of the church, mystery of how Christ dwells in us, mystery of iniquity, mystery of the coming rapture. Amen. Oh, you can study the different mysteries, but one of the mysteries is in the scriptures teaching is about the local church that God knew from the beginning. Well, let's look at your second page and the biblical order of things. And by the way, it's important that you do that everything's in order. First, salvation. What's the most important thing for any person in the world? That they be saved. We had Brother Ed Decker came here from the Rock of Ages. He preached Chapel Friday. He and Coolidge went to the ministry, jail ministry on Friday night and Saturday. And I was told that Brother Coolidge led an officer to Christ. Brother Coolidge Greer led a correction officer to Christ. You know, that was the most important thing that ever happened to that officer. He might have been married, which is important. He might have had children, which is important. You know, he might have done a lot of wonderful, heroic things in his life, and those are all important. But I'm going to tell you, the most important thing for anyone's life, the most important thing for your life, my life, your children's life, your children's children's life, is that they know Christ as Savior. Salvation. There's no greater thing in the world than to know Christ as your Savior. Salvation. When you put the top priorities in this life, the top priorities is salvation. So number one, first of all, first and foremost, salvation. Then after salvation, after you really trust Christ as your Savior by faith, then we get baptized. Remember, we had a proper candidate, proper mold, proper authority. Remember that in our baptism that we studied? Proper candidate has to be a saved person for baptism. Proper mold is by immersion. Authority is the local Baptist church. Amen? How many remember that? And so salvation, baptism, then church membership. Jesus started the church when he was down here. Said, the gates of hell, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he's got a church here today. I'm glad I'm part of it. And church membership, all people should, after they're saved and they should be baptized, should be part of the membership of the church. Amen? Baptism gives you the entrance to the church membership. You can't be a member unless you're baptized. So baptism is the entranceway, the doorway, not to heaven, Salvation is the doorway to heaven. Baptism is the doorway of church membership. Then after you're saved and been baptized and have church membership, then you're eligible to have the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is very special, isn't it? We come and we take the grape juice and the unleavened bread, and we remember Christ, what he did for us. The Bible says, and we'll get into it later, do this in remembrance of me. Doesn't say how often to do it. Just says do it in remembrance of me. And it's not to be saved. We're taking it because we are saved and remember what Christ did for us. Amen. Believe it or not, some people teach that when they take the Lord's Supper, it's part of their salvation. By the way, lest I would forget, we're glad to have Mike and Katie, a fireman. I think they're going to get settled in pretty soon. I think they're going to get a close on their home and stuff like that. And we're so glad to have you, Katie and Mike. God bless you. And the Lord's Supper is so important. Now, the Lord's Supper can't save anyone, just like water baptism doesn't save anyone. You'd be amazed how many people think water baptism saves people. You'd be surprised how many people, when they take the Lord's Supper, they actually think they're eating the body of Jesus. They actually think they're actually taking the body of Christ in. Now, I'm not trying to be crude, but I'm trying, and I'm not trying to be rude, but I'm trying to get you to come now, let us reason together. If you literally were taking the body of Christ in, a few hours later, you'd be flushing him down the toilet. Not trying to be impolite. What I'm trying to do is how foolish people are. How many are with me? And of course, it would be so wrong to take away what Christ did for us on the cross. And to think that someone could just take a little grape juice and a little wafer and think that they'd get to heaven. No. There was just like our freedom here, it's people have paid a price for our freedom. Christ paid a great price, a greater price even, for us to have our freedom in eternal heaven. Amen? So then you got salvation, number one. Believer's baptism, number two. Then you become a member of the church. Then you can have the Lord's Supper. Two ordinances, Brother Ray. God gave two ordinances to the church. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. So only the local church can give it. These people don't even have a local church. They're out doing stuff. They've got no authority. God gave the local church the authority to baptize, and God gave the local church to do the Lord's Supper. I'm amazed at how the world's, your 700 Club and all those other ones, you know, the PTL and ABC and all those other ones, whatever they call them, how they think they can do all kinds of stuff. And no, you got to go by God's Bible. A King James Bible show you exactly how to go. And so we got the church member and the Lord's Supper. By the way, if you're not saved, you ought not take the Lord's Supper. By the way, if you're not saved, you ought not be baptized. And so then you got salvation, baptism, church member, then the Lord's Supper. And then what we're doing right now, not just get people saved, but disciple them. Jesus said, go out and teach them and win them to Christ and teach them the things of God. And so, Brother Mark, when we went to Bible college, the scripture that they gave us over in Timothy, and the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach us also. Amen? Teach others also. You know why the Jehovah Witness gets so many Baptists? Because Baptists don't know their Bible. Jehovah Witness will focus on one thing to try to tear up your doctrine. And if you don't know Bible truth, how to repel that, they'll take you down like the Titanic. And yes, sir.
Just as a commentary, I went to college with a girl. She graduated from the college. A year later, she was Jehovah's Witness.
It's so sad.
Because she was not in the book.
Right. See, here's the thing. You should, number one, everyone should know that they're saved. You can know. The Bible says these things written that you may know that you have eternal life. You ought to know it. If you don't know it, then you ought to make sure you know it. Amen. And say, Christ, please save my soul. I'm not going another day without knowing I'm saved. Amen. And if you don't know you're saved, chances are you're not saved. Because when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in your heart and it bears witness. You become a new creature in Christ. There's so many people in the church today, they're members, but they're not saved. And that's why come they can become casualties. Amen? Amen. And they're professors, but not possessors. Yes. Be a possessor of Christ. Yes. Not just a professing one. Yes. And then nobody ever reads their Bible. The average Christian never reads their Bible. They bring it on church on Sunday morning, if they remember to. The Bible says, Jesus said in John 5, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that which testify of me. The Bible will tell you about Christ if you read it. Study the word, thy word. Study the scriptures. The Bible says study the Bible, that you might be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Amen? Amen? So we can rightly divide the word of truth. Yeah. And most Christians can't. That's why I was glad we had, for 6 years, we had the Bible Institute and we taught the book of Romans. And it grounded a lot of people. When a Jehovah's Witness comes to you, you just pull out the Old Testament and say, look at this, Exodus 3:14, God said his name was I Am.
Amen. That's right.
And then it's amazing, Jehovah's Witness. When Jesus came, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection. I'm the bread of life. I wonder if he's related to God. He was God in the flesh.
That's right. Amen.
See, you got to know Scripture, because they'll try to. He was not a little God. Jesus was God.
Amen.
John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus was the Creator.
Amen.
Kenny, when you get into Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. That word God there, and I don't focus a lot because I don't need a whole lot of Hebrew and Greek because I've got the English that God gave me. But that word God is the name for God there in the Hebrew is Elohim. And Elohim is a uniplural noun, which denotes more than one. And that means God the Father, God the Son, God the Trinity. You're right. That's why he said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man. Let us make man. That's a Trinity. And see, Jesus was part of the Godhead. And he was God incarnate. God came down in the flesh. Amen? And that God was in Christ, reconciling us unto himself. He said, Philip said over John 14, he said, Jesus, show us the Father and it'll suffice. It'll satisfy us. He said, Philip, have I been with you so long and you still don't know me? I am God. Duh. Hello. I've been walking on water, bringing dead back, blind eyes to see, the lame to walk, feeding the 5,000, all kinds of, stopping the wind and the waves. Hey, Philip, you think I might have something going here? Hello? Even Thomas said, unless I see the nails in his hands. So 8 days later, Jesus shows up.
Yep.
After his, by the way, 8's the number of salvation. 8 people in the ark. Ark was a type of Christ. 8, the number 8, when you study numerology, the number 8 represents a new beginning or salvation. And Jesus said, look, Thomas, be not faithless, but believe. And Thomas said, my Lord, my God. I really believe Thomas got saved right there. Kenny had been with him for 3 years and he still wasn't saved. Hello? Don't tell me people can't be in church and not be saved. I believe Thomas didn't get saved until he was right there. I believe that with all my heart. I believe Thomas got saved right there. And that was after Jesus. He had been with Jesus for 3 years and saw him do miracles and still wasn't saved. Think about that. My Lord, my God. I believe he got saved right there. You could disagree with me when we get to heaven, you'll find out I was right. But I won't argue with you, but yeah, he was with Jesus. Said, "Not did I not go appoint 12 of you, and one's a devil." John 60, verse 70, I think it is. John 6, verse 7, it's right in there. And Judas, how'd they get up? Discipleship! That's why. You need to understand the scriptures. That's why you need to come to church every time it's open, whenever you can. That's why you need to read your Bible. That's why you need to not just read, but study it. I like to do word studies. I'll just take one word. And I'll work on that word. I'll run a bunch of scriptures out to get a bunch of thoughts from it. And when you start, you can almost give me any word you want. And I could probably teach you something on that word. Because you could teach anything if you know scriptures. You can teach anything if you have some scripture in your heart. I'll say this and we'll move on. I remember when I went to Bible college, Kenny, one day a kid said, We had memorized scripture all the time. And he said, "I can't bring it up, Dr. Brooke. I just can't." He said, "Satan's blocking my mind." I'll never forget that. And John Brooke said, "He can't block, but you don't have." That kid never studied. And I thought that was a good answer by the old dean. But anyways, we just don't want people to get saved, which is the most important thing, though. We want them to get baptized. We want them to become a faithful member of the church. And we want them to have the Lord's. And then we want them to be discipled. Like, Kenny's just recently been saved. This whole front row, all these men just been saved a few weeks. And they've been baptized. I don't know if we've had the Lord's Supper since you've been a member yet. Probably not. And but their members, they were saved, they were baptized, they become members of the church, and now we're disciples, we're teaching them the word of God, amen? And so, all right, flip your page over. I think it says page one, even though we just went through a couple pages, we're on page one, okay? Notice church membership and the Lord's Supper. Some things were never meant to be changed. There are some who will claim that by taking this position, we're being rigid. No, I just believe the Bible's true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. When the Bible makes a statement, believe it. Well, it doesn't go with our doctrine. Well, I don't care, then change your doctrine. Amen. Well, I don't believe that. Well, guys, I've had a lot of people tell me, I don't believe there's a hell. I said, you can not believe there's a hell, but it doesn't change it. There is a hell. There's no unbelief. Like Jehovah's Witness, they don't believe there's a hell. But there's not one Jehovah's Witness that died that's an unbeliever in hell now. Because they're in hell burning and crying out in torment. They believe in hell. Trust me. Can anyone say amen or oh me? And so, let's look at our goal is not to be rigid, but to be biblical. That's the thing. You know, God didn't call us to argue. You know, God just called us to teach and to preach the word. I'm not going to get in an argument with people. I'm really not. They don't want to take it. The Bible says, kick the dust off your feet and go on to someone else. There's too many people out there that need to hear the word of God. I'm not gonna spend hours and hours with disgruntleds and people that hate the cross of Christ. No, I'm just gonna preach the word to them and then give them the gospel, and I'm going on. A fellow come up to me one day. He said, "I want to debate you," and I said, "God didn't call me to debate. He called me to preach." And I said, "I'm going to tell you one thing. You're a lost sinner. Christ loves you, and he died for your sins. He was buried, and on the third day he arose, and he's in heaven. And if you want to get there, you're going to have to trust him as your Savior. Repent of your sin and trust him for what he did for you. He died for you and shed his blood so you could have eternal life. You believe that, you can take Christ, you'll get saved. If not, you'll die and go to hell. You can believe it or not, but that's it." And he said, "Now let me debate." I said, "No, I'm done now. Amen. I'm done. I'm in charge." One thing, when you're the officer, you get the last word. A lot of times I'll get people in my office and say, "Don't say one word. I'll let you talk when I get done." When I'll get after about 20 minutes, I'll say, "All right, I'm done. Let's pray." They'll say, "Well, we're supposed to, I want to say something." "Well, you can't. I'm leaving, but you can say all you want." No. That was just an example. No, I have an ear to hear. But I'm not gonna compromise God's word.
Amen.
And look at your Bible there. Look at your paper rather. We have a more sure word. Folks, that Bible you got, it's God's pure word. Look at 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. This is why we take a biblical stand, because the Bible's God's holy word. It's inspired. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. How many see 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19? We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. What do? You do well. You do well if you take heed. You do well if you listen. You do well if you believe it. You do well if you study it. Are you with me? Wherein you do well, and you take heed unto the light that shineth in dark place, unto the day dawn, the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first. Get this down right away, first. That no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Men just didn't write what they wanted. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Kenny, I have a secretary. My wife is my secretary, Rosie. And I'll say, "Rosie, I want to dictate a letter to you. Take these notes." And so I'll dictate a letter I'm writing to somebody, and Rosie will write down exactly what I told her. Rob, I mean, word for word, she'll write down what I told her. Nothing. She don't put her own thoughts in it. She just puts the preacher's thoughts. That's what God did. See, you say, well, someone will try to say to you, Kenny, "Well, man wrote this Bible." Yeah, man did write it. Man wrote it, but the men that wrote it were inspired by God to everything they wrote. Sometimes they didn't understand what they were writing. They just wrote it, Brother Coolidge. Can you imagine John? Can you remember when they wrote the book of Revelation? Wow! Can you imagine when John was recording the book of Revelation, writing down on the island of Patmos? Writing all that stuff? Woo! Man, all the judgments and all kinds of things. Are you with me? How many are still with me? The trumpets and the vials and how many are with me? He say, "Well, God, are you sure about that vial? Are you sure about that trumpet sound? No, he just said, "Keep telling me what to write, God." And Brother Mike, I've got a perfect Bible. There's not one. You know how many errors are in this Bible? None. There's no errors. You have a perfect Bible. God, not only is God good, big enough and great enough to record his word, he's big enough to preserve his word.
Amen.
See, there's some people believe that God's words can't be preserved. By the way, let me help you on this one, Ken. They'll say, "Well, in the originals, can I tell you something right now? We don't have an original. The originals have all long been gone. We got copies that are passed down from the originals." I always get a kick out of these originalists. Well, in the original. They never saw an original because they were gone long ago. They recorded it and they passed it on down. Yes.
And I think it's interesting, of course, to note about the scripture you're using there, where Peter says we also have a more sure word of prophecy. If you go back several verses right before that, what Peter's saying is God's word is a better accounting actually walked with him for 3.5 years.
Yes. Yes. I agree with that.
Better than what they did.
Yes. Correct. You can't improve on God. I heard a man years ago, he was a great preacher. It was Dr. Over there in Toledo Baptist Temple years ago. And he got me for about 30 minutes. He just read the Word of God. Dr. Harness. Closed his Bible and prayed. He just did this one time just to show something. And people said, "You didn't preach." He said, "You can't improve on God's word."
Amen.
You can't improve on God's word. So then faith cometh by, and hearing by the, yeah. You can't improve on God's word. See the NIVKEYMOUS. See, those do, they won't, they don't have the, that's not God's word. You got to get the one that God wrote. And so, notice what it says there. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, it's not what man. See, the reason you got other perversions, Kenny, the people that write these other Bibles, they want their own interpretation. Well, a better rendering of this is this. There is no better rendering than God's. And see what those guys want to do. They want you to think that they're smart. But really, they're not smart, because anyone that corrects the Bible, they're not smart. And so, run away from those kind of people. I know I'm your preacher, but Robert, if a preacher ever says something to you that's not in the Word of God, don't you believe me.
Amen.
You believe God over me. I can fail you, but God's Word will never fail you. No, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scriptures any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of men, but holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And what he did, the Holy Ghost put in their heart what to write. Isn't that great?
Yes.
And that's how you got your Bible. And that's why we're so, what we call, we're fundamental Baptists. We're Bible believers. We believe the Bible is inerrant. We believe there's no errors. And so, Brother Cooley, it's the reason we take a biblical stand, because we just believe God's word is the only correct way to go. Anything that goes away from God's word is incorrect. Amen? And so let's look. Five facts about the order of church membership and the Lord's Supper. You know what, before I do that, though, hold your hand. Let me see. I want to give you one more verse. Look in the book of Psalms. I can't get off the scripture. Look at Psalms 12. Look at verse 6. Psalms 12, verse 6. The words, all these words of the Lord are what?
Pure
words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Seven's God's number. Seven's the number of perfection. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt what?
Preserve
them from this generation until they write the American Standard Version. Until they write the NIV, not inspired version. You're right. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. 40 authors over a period of about 1,500 years wrote your Bible. They were Jewish people. Another scripture says that God magnifies his word above his name. Psalms 138, I believe it is, isn't it? Verse 2. Look at Psalms 138, verse 2. You say, why are you saying this, preacher? Because I'm not being dog. I have a right to be dogmatic on the scriptures, because the scripture is dogmatic.
Amen.
I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name, for thy loving kindness, for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Look how, if God holds the Bible up that much, how much should we hold it up? Amen? Don't let the Jehovah's Witness take your Bible. Don't let the Mormons take your Bible. Oh, they'll come in and say, the Church of the Latter-day Saints, but they'll say they're saints, but they ain't. And they'll say, well, you can use your key, but the next thing you know, they'll be giving you the Book of Mormons. There's snakes in the grass. And you say, I don't like that. I wouldn't say that. That's why I said it, so because you don't have to say it. I'll say it. And beware of those that pervert the gospel.
Amen.
Paul said, those that pervert the gospel, let them be accursed.
Right.
I don't care if it's a Baptist. If they pervert the gospel, let them be accursed.
Yeah.
But I know the doctrines of those cults. Yeah, hold on. We got another bell yet. Look up here. I'm gonna give you a thought. Every cult has one distinction. They always deny the deity of Jesus Christ. In other words, Kenny, it means that deity means that Jesus was God. They'll deny that Jesus was God. See, some will have Joseph Smith as their God. Someone like the Jehovah's Witness, they'll make Jesus a little God. He wasn't a little God. He was the God. When you read John 1:1, I quoted to you, Jesus was the creator.
Yeah.
In the beginning, that's why I went to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1. He made all the trees, all the sky, the land, the water. Then it says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus was the creator. Because he was God. Are you with me? But every cult, I don't care if it's Christian Science, which they're not science, and they're not scientific, and they're not Christian. I don't care if it's Mormons. I don't care if they're, you can name anyone you want. You can always define the cult because they'll deny. Cults deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Okay, look at your paper. I got 2 more minutes and the bell's going to ring. 5 facts about the order of the church membership and the Lord's Supper. Based upon the model church of in Acts chapter 2, look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42. Hold on to your papers. We'll finish this next week. Acts 2:41 and 42. Then they that gladly received his word, when they got saved, what'd they do? They were baptized. And the same day they were at unto about 3,000. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Now watch. Fact one, you must be saved before becoming a member of a church. One of the first requirements of Bethel Baptist Church to be a member here, you must be born again. Jesus told a Jewish priest named Nicodemus, marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again, John chapter 3. And he said it in verse 3, he said it in verse 5, he said it in verse 7. He kept repeating, you must be born again. Yeah, hold on. Fact two, that we're not quitting yet. One, you must be saved. 2, you must scripturally be baptized after you've been saved. And before becoming a member of the local church. You can't become a member. Baptism is the entrance way for membership. Number 3, you must be baptized before receiving the Lord's Supper. I believe that. Some churches don't hold to that, but I really believe a person... If you're not obedient in the first ordinance that God tells you, I don't think you should take the second ordinance. Number 4, you are not free to pick and choose which of the church ordinances you will or will not do. Well, I'll do the Lord's Supper, but I won't get baptized. Nah. Neither are you free to decide what order which they will be obeyed. Some people say, well, I'll do the Lord's Supper, then I'll get baptized. No, you do them in order. Get baptized, then you become a member. You can't become a member until you're baptized. You can't get baptized until you're saved. Amen?
Amen.
And you can't have the Lord's Supper until we have what we call closed. You have to be a member to have the Lord's Supper. Amen? Because it's not, look up here. God gave the ordinances to the church. He gave it to the local church. Lost people ain't supposed to be getting the Lord's Supper. It's for saved people. So just the saved people should be taking it. Saved, baptized. Amen? Okay. And number five, you cannot change the facts of 1-4. I like that. Okay. We'll pick this up next week. Oh, we're going to have a rock and roll. Look at my, I got a bunch of writing on the bottom of that. We'll be rocking it next week. Okay, let's have a moment of prayer. Brother Coolidge, would you lead us in prayer?